Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Reverend Natalie Jean calling from Kensington, Maryland on the School Leaders. Beautiful, wonderful January 31st. I can't believe it's January 31st day. The end of January, and it's only just begun. Today's episode is going to be If Thine Eye Be Single. It's a lesson by Emma Curtis Hawkins, one of my favorite ladies of the 1800s, but her teachings are so relevant for today. It's just awesome. I will translate her teachings, put my little input in them, you know, and talk about the world today, how we can work together as just human beings to unite for a common cause of good in the world and a healing in the universe. But before we begin, I would like to start with a prayer or a meditation. Let us hold the truth always, that we were born of love, that we will always be loved, that if we speak our truth and hold it boldly and firm, then nothing can touch us. Nothing can harm us. No weapons formed against us will ever prosper. But we must hold the intention in our heart, body, and soul to know that we are good. We are amazing human beings walking this earth. And if we keep that mindset, only the good and the love is the only thing that we're going to see in this world. You know, God is good. Even if you don't believe in God, you've got to believe in yourself. You've got to believe in some kind of energy. The best thing to believe in is it yourself. So every morning, wake up and say, I am love. I am all things that I am supposed to be. I hold the power in my life. I predict my life. I hold the intention. No harm can come to me now. Every morning, say it. Say, every morning, I'm going to have a blessed and joyous day, and all things that I desire are going to come forth to me, because I am a child of the universe. I am a child of spirit. I am a child of all things, and I know that I've inherited the kingdom, so to speak. God is good, and so are you. God never, ever made any mistakes, ever. We can look at the world and we can see certain things going on, but we do not blame God for anything. Remember, there's an aspect of free will that has been brought upon us, and that, you know, God made you a decision. Either that you're going to be good, or you're just going to be bad. And some people have chosen to be bad. I choose to look at everyone with love and peace in my heart and just allow people to be themselves. So remember, always be true to who you are and don't let anybody tell you what to be. Amen. Today's lesson is on If Thine Eye Be Single. So basically, if your eye is only focused on one aspect, let's just say the good, the positive, and all things right, this is what's going to come out in your life. So it's the aspect of keeping a positive mindset at all times. And sometimes this can be difficult because things will come at you in many different directions. And this oftentimes happens to people that are really getting into spirituality, that really have a good heart, that really want to see only the good for other people. Once you start delving into that lifestyle, you will see, you will be tested to see how you will hold your composure in many different things. I can give you a little example right now. So this week, I had republished a book by Melinda Kramer, which is Divine Science, and the only thing that I wrote in it was a teeny weeny little paragraph. But in the world of Divine Science, there are those that don't want you to republish her teachings. They want to hold on to it. They want to do so many things to it. I don't know. Not theirs to keep. So I was talking to somebody on the phone, and they just mentioned that somebody had sent them a book by Melinda Kramer, and it was amazing. And I said, oh, let me just go online and let me check. Let me see. I couldn't find it. But I looked at the book that I published, and somebody had put a nasty comment on my book. And I knew who the person was. And it was just, I had to hold my composure. I had to remember my principles. But I was angry, and I cursed. I did. You know, I started calling people, and I said, I can't believe this, da-da-da. And the reason the person did this is because, you know, people don't want you to republish other people's teaching, even though they don't own it. And I sent the person an email, and I told him, I don't understand how a reverend or spiritual person can do such things. And basically, he lied in his comment, because I didn't write a thing except for the introduction. And eventually had to apologize because somebody else spoke on my behalf and had to remind him of his principle. You know, it is hard sometimes to keep our tongue in check, but just because you're spiritual doesn't mean you allow people to walk all over you ever, ever. You don't have to curse at them. You don't have to yell at people, but you should put them in their place to a certain degree, and you can do it in a nice way. Because in this lifetime, I will never let anybody walk all over me. I will never let anybody walk all over my friends. I will always stand up for what is right. And you have to keep on doing this. Even in the music industry, which I'm in, you know, I'm not trying to let anybody change my vision. What I like is what I like. If you don't like it, don't listen to it. You know, that is my premise. So here's the lesson. If thine eyes be single, Samuel chapter 7, verses 5 through 12. The theme involved in this lesson is the value of unmixed motive and the principle of success. If one is a health food student, he can never really determine about safe and unsafe victuals if he takes spasmodic spells of practicing the Christian doctrine of eating whatsoever is set before us and asking no questions. And that's what happens in spirituality, in different religious modalities. They will put things before us, and we have to basically just accept what they're teaching us because they're the teachers. But that's not true. Anything that anyone presents to you, you should do your due diligence. You should research it. You should see how it feels towards you. Do you think that you want to delve into this spiritual modality or this religious modality based on their view set? Or are you in a religious modality because they're telling you what to do, how to behave, who to hate? Oh, you're a sinner. That's BS. I'm not into the sinner aspect. When I go into a church and they say you're born to sin, I just walk right out because I can't possibly be born into sin. I'm born, I come from God, and I'm pure in spirit. Okay? We go through things throughout life. We go through peer pressure. People may attack us, but that does not make us sinners. It doesn't make a sinner. I don't even like to use the word. But you need to start asking questions before you really get into anything. That's what's important. If one is a believer this minute in liniments and massage and the next minute in the unformulated spirit, how can he expect to arrive at successful health? If one is watching for astral shapes, karma, reincarnation, and so on, how can he mix his vision with the high and holy one and find out anything definite? If thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if the light in thee be no stronger than what angels can tell thee, thy whole body shall be full of an inferior light. And anything, again, that you read, see, or being taught, you have to feel it out. You know, anybody that brings something to me now, you know, I investigate it. I meditate on it. I don't jump into things without realizing certain things first. Can I trust this person? Is this information true? The world and technology is beautiful. Google. You can Google anybody now and get any type of information that you want. But don't take things at face value. It was interesting. I had to go to the laundromat today, and this Jehovah Witness came to me, and she wanted me to give me her paper. And I said, you know what? I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm an interfaith minister. I'm spiritual, but I will never read your pamphlet. You should give it to somebody that's going to read it. I know what you guys stand for, and some of the things are beautiful, but some of the things I just don't stand for. And she, you know what? She respected that honesty. Honesty is the best policy in all aspects. Samuel, as was said last Sunday, represents one whose mystic gaze is always fixed on the highest. This illuminates him to see what is less and estimate it at its proper value instantly. He learned of metaphysics how to face the best, and he never compromised on something less. Eli represented the metaphysics, which has got far enough to say words, over and over with the key information to them that the words formulate affairs and bodies. Samuel took to the key and spoke the highest word he had ever heard. It was Lord. Whoever says Lord must hear a voice. Thou shalt hear a voice behind thee. Listening to the voice turns the mystic gaze backward and upward. No spirit of just men made perfect or astral shapes or angels after that can be heard by him without his detecting at once that his Lord's voice is more reliable and buoyant. He knows the values of words and sentences, and yet he never studied them. So little Samuel knew, as last Sunday's lessons rehearsed, that cheating and opium eating like to be told that they are good instead of being denied any reality. He told that to Eli, and Eli immediately let go, practicing making his world spin around by right words. He saw that he would never get right, for he could never get power from words. His power must come from that which is above words. Samuel is here represented as having parted company with the doctrine of language altogether. He takes his whole realm of body, mind, feelings, spirit, and turns them into the bottomless pit of the majestic and mighty Lord within him. Samuel chapter 7, verse 5. You know, confronted with things in our daily lives that will make us think about how and what is going on in the world. And these days, when I turn on the internet or read something on Facebook or read something on Twitter or watch something on the television, I am flabbergasted by how the world has become. We have people that are torturing people. We have people that are cutting off people's heads for money. We have people that do animal cruelty, which is just heinous. We have people that are throwing their children off of bridges alive. We have parents that are burning their children alive. Every single day, there is something atrocious going on in the world. And I start to ask myself, why is that? Then I think, you know, our mindset, some people's mindset, not everybody, because I don't know everybody's mindset, are focused so much on hate and anger. This is what the force is bringing out into the world. This is the energy. Now, there are many people that have love in their heart, love in their mind, that will do anything for anybody. And they hold that energy every day by prayer, by meditation, by being that thing that they want to see out in the world. And I often think about the people that say that they want to be spiritual beings and how they work in this world. You know, I've been doing this for about 8 years now, and I've seen many different types of walks of life walk into my life. I've seen people that have said that they're spiritual and they're the most evil thing. I have seen people that are so spiritual and loving, they are always in a positive light. But now we are at a time where we all must band together and work and unite to save this universe. Because this is the 21st century, and some of the things that are occurring in this world are just amazing to me. They shouldn't be. Everybody in this world is trying to attain satisfaction. They want the best life possible. But you can't have the best life possible if your mind is always set on hate, if your mind is always set on envy, if your mind is always set on anger. You've got to change that around so that you can have that thing that you want in your lifetime. You can pray for things, but you got to pray for something that's good, that's positive. When I do my stuff, I'm not only thinking about myself. I think about how it'll affect the world. Like, I love my music, and people don't like it. They don't like it. They can tune it off. I like my spiritual stuff. They can tune it off if they don't like it. But I know somehow I'm going to touch somebody. That's what I believe my mission in life is to touch and have people learn how to speak their truth, to understand that they deserve to be here, that they are loved, that they should stand up and speak because their words have power. Mitzvah is only figurative for a high watchtower, which is the highest within. It was to turn all his Israel into this Lord that should constitute success. The Lord is often called He in the Bible. He will swallow up death in victory. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away. Nothing is able to swallow up death and hell and Satan and the mind that imagined them except that he who is mentioned in the Bible. He was unto this capable swallower that Samuel turned into his undivided attention. All prayer is attention to that he who can swallow up sorrow, danger, death, fear. Mary, Queen of Scots, said she feared John Knox's prayers more than an army of 10,000 men. You had better look out how you speak of the man or woman who prays much. Also look out how you deal with them. They are always victorious, triumphant, successful. So that is the big thing, is that you have to be in a place where you just have to be prayerful. You don't have to pray. You can meditate. You can hold an intention. You can have a mantra. But it is true. The person that prays, the person that meditates, the person that has that main focus on life and focusing all their energy onto the good, that is the person to watch for. Because that person's intention is so good, it's going to touch the hems of the universe, and it's going to make a difference. All Israel gathered and poured water in the ground together to signify that the past was nothing, nothing at all. Whatever Samuel was saying was all they knew anything about. This was unmixed motive, undivided attention. The Philistines saw this congregation losing itself in Samuel's judgment on them to destroy him. So at first, whatever science or principle or object you give your attention to, all your old ideas, feelings, beliefs, all the people you know, and all the affairs you ever had any dealings with will come up to distract you. Philistines are only distractions. Distractions are either nothing or something to you according to how well lost you are in Samuel. This, of course, means only interest or intentness. Some people are not half interested in what they are doing. They are not interested in the God they are talking about. How can you tell? Why? They complain of this, of that, of the other. If they were really interested, do you think they would know what was going on around them? At a boarding school, the students complained of the severity of the professor of mathematics. One of the boys was so interested in the mathematics itself that he never once caught the sarcasm, the quick-tempered reproof of his teacher. See, that is where spirituality really comes into play. If you were to only focus on the aspect of delivering good or focus on the aspect of healing, you would never know what was going on around you. It's almost the same as me getting on the internet and seeing all that stuff. My aspect, my look, my vision has to be solely focused on the good and doing away with all those aspects. That which was the teacher's goal was his goal also. No Philistines distracted him. Lorenzo Dow was on his way to a meeting where he was to tell the glory of God. His horse kicked and plunged and suddenly balked, throwing him violently ahead in the road. Dow got up on his feet and went on as though nothing had happened. He never even looked around to see where the horse was, and he never inquired what became of him. Here I'll raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. So in this aspect of these different stories that my Curtis Hopkins has given us, it is to deny the very existence of what has seemingly tried to come into your face. That you see this man is riding on his horse, he needs to get somewhere, and the horse is like, I'm not going, I don't feel like it. And yet, it didn't faze him because his vision was on the task ahead. This lesson is wholly taken up with the actual presence of something in our midst which is of such entrancing ability that we are glad to commit our life, destiny, reputation, body, and affairs into his capable fingers. Samuel is the quality in us which, by some luminous elixir, can pull the whole of our faculties into itself. And the Samuel of us in us never asks help or expects help except from one source. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. You cannot tell whether your eyesight would be glory, straight gift from the mighty God, can you? If you are pulling on your spectacles all the time for your sight, you cannot tell, can you, whether your robust body would be your glory, straight gift from the mighty God. If you're pulling at the drug bottle all the time for your health, that means that you are not focused. You are only focused on your spectacles, meaning that you're adjusting them because you need them, rather than saying, I don't need them because my vision is God's vision. And so if you're looking at your body and you're saying this, that, and the other about it, but you don't say that my body is God's body, my health is God's health, and just accepting the fact that you're whole, perfect, and complete. Now there is a seminal faculty in us which can pull on the mighty I am till death, blindness, disease, danger. Yeah, even our very flesh and mind are drawn into its vortex, and nothing is left of us but he that shall rebuke the devourer for our sake. Jesus of Nazareth took his whole being and offered it into the great void of that which swallows all, leaving itself the only presence to be found anywhere. He took all the world with him and offered everything in it, on it, along with himself. Samuel only took David, that is, all who had heard of his God. Jesus took those that never knew there was a God. He pulled on the earth as he offers it to his own. I am is still very great. It is even more felt than it was a year ago, for the time of the loss of the old heaven and the new earth into the open gate is closing. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The ministry of Jesus shall be complete, and he shall give up the keys to the Father, give up his drawn powers, his name, the rulership contained in his name, the new name shall take his name's place. In verse 9, it tells how Samuel took a little lamb and burned it alive. This is but symbolic. If anybody slay a little lamb, even for food, he would be doing something for which he could hardly pray himself from the consequences of. The law is so strict as it sweeps its inflexible winds over humanity that it is as certain as you live that even for the deed of cutting off a horse's tail, there is to come a pain exactly like it in the body of the man who did it. For every blow on an animal, there is to be a blow exactly like it on the quivering skin of the man who strikes. Now, everybody know I am a lover of animal, and I like what Emma just said, and I'm going to repeat it. For every blow on an animal, there is to be a blow exactly like it. Bless you. Exactly like it on the quivering skin of the man who strikes. I can never understand when people harm animals. I can never understand when people harm anybody, but I cannot understand the things that people do to animals. I just don't understand it. And I'm not going to understand it. This is law. And the very fact that a man is capable of doing these things marks him plainly as one under the law of cause and consequence. Let me repeat it. And the very fact that a man is capable of doing these things marks him plainly as one under the law of cause and consequence. Those that hunt, to a certain degree, I eat meat. But, I mean, when they take cats, dogs, and they do that one heinous thing, I just can't take it. Therefore, whether Samuel, Judges of Israel, 1114 BC, or myself, 1895 AD, it is one and the same if we set our murderous purpose on a living animal. We shall not pass one shot or one little till all be fulfilled in us. And the Jesus Christ freedom, there is no instantaneous release from these consequences, to be sure. But while there is any practice of hurt in your life, we have never actually accepted the Jesus Christ. We are only halfway interested. We have not even got as far as Samuel and Israel. So the story of cruelty is only a figure. The lamb that Israel offered just represents our most blameless doctrine. Now the most blameless doctrine ever presented to man is that the spirit of man is the identical substance with the absolute God. This is full of sweet meat, full of warm comfort, full of gentle healing. It is the lamb dogma that has lifted up for glass humanity to accept just as the closing world of the cycles of time. Matter has been called a real substance, a It has been studied and believed until mankind is now the faintest life shape that moves. He is the sickest. He is the most afraid. He is the most foolish. All these states produced by studying matter is a sweet dogma. The spirit is the omnipresent substance, is sure cure. The man who finds that spirit's the strength of his life and the light of his countenance will rally from the deathbed and renew the intelligence of his youth. It is a doctrine which has clothed the ragged and given courage to the famine stricken. But Jesus said, the poor in spirit touch God, the spirit in man, even at its most shining glory of power and beauty, is not the hallowed Father. Ye must be shed of spirit, poor devoid. No spirit lives on when you touch the I Am, Father, nameless of God. Now this lesson shows that it is a fire, a burning flame, that is experienced when man lays down his precious healing spirit. He feels a new fire. As a man who has eaten no food feels a burning, so a man who has given up his dogma that his spirit is God and Deo feels flame. But who hath known when the smoke was fire is yielding up his lamb doctrine, that at this pristine point, the original Shen, as it is called in verse 12, he is spirit? No, he is not spirit. He says spirit as the radiance pours from his nameless center and all the nations cry, beautiful spirit, wonderful God. But on that untouched pinnacle of his mighty self, he is that of which the spirit can know nothing. This is what burning the lamb means. The Mohammed doesn't tell the story of giving up all to the lily that is nameless in a better symbol than the Samuel lesson tells us. They say there is a mystic mountain of fire, and whenever a ship is sailing toward it, the nails, the spars, the shrouds, the very flames begin to feel the pull of the mystic flame and free from the ship toward it as toward their longed for haven. So there is soon nothing left of the ship, but the splendid mountain stands in eternal calm with the enchanting, drowsing energy which all who sail its way cannot resist. As the thirsty heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Samuel is described by commentators as one who had to struggle like a man to hold himself against the temptations of the degenerate social life of his age. But the divine teaching that the mystic fire from the mountain of my God has given me is that he whose eye is on the eternal never fights for his life, his chaste character, and his conduct. He never struggles. He never makes an effort. So your eye has to be focused on yourself. It has to be focused on spirit, on God, on Allah, whatever you want to call it, it has to be focused on that. As he gazes on the Father in heaven, a noble character rises up in him which he did not win by feeling every fiber of his body and mind quiver to do some sensual thing and finally mastering it by some great struggle. This is old-fashioned understanding of the majesty and ability of the soul. It is no effort for the God of heaven to be holy, mighty, wise. It is no effort for any man to sail, who sails the ship of his undivided attention toward the shining mountain of the living I Am that has its throne in his own bosom to be wholly strong, blameless, capable. There are other things than keeping the character blameless and the actions grand, which the new sweetness of the drawing flame of the fire mountain shows us do indeed take place as we draw near the hour from whence no traveler returns. But as this lesson is about Samuel with his blameless and competent manhood, some other lesson must tell of those other glad miracles. So we must be focused. We must be focused on the aspect of truth, love, and life. We must not give in to the things that people want to tell us we need to be. We know who we are. But as we join together in speaking our truth, we must join together and focus our energy on this universe and just presenting from our body the good. Just focus all our intentions of love and good and truth towards the universe. It is in a place of seemingly disarray, and we've got to come to a place where we can all unite in prayer and meditation and focus our intentions of good and love towards it. God is good, and so are you. You will always be good in the light of God. Amen. Forth and be merry. Namaste, namaste, namaste.